Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
Well, it's all over but the shouting is what we like to say out in the country. It's all over. Yeah, the elections were, at least the primary elections, we're going to talk about that. There's some lessons to be learned in what happened in Oregon last night. Also, our church is being discriminated against here in Oregon. You see, there's a Breitbart story about how Attorney General Bill Barr, you know, has his, you know, pretty well backed the churches publicly. But in a letter that was written to the California governor about what he's doing down there is strikingly similar to what is happening here in Oregon. It is a letter from the deputy attorney general to the California government about their reopening plan being discriminatory. Now, the key question to ask, if in fact churches are being discriminated against in Oregon, should the U.S. Attorney General Bill Barr write a letter of support to the not one but two lawsuits that are being heard in Oregon? One specifically about businesses and one that involves the churches and businesses, which is the one with Kevin Mannix and Paul Hackey from the Pacific Justice Institute. You think that that would have any influence on the Oregon Supreme Court? At least on the first one. The second one, of course, goes into federal court. So how bad is the Oregon economy? Well, we're going to find out today. Because today, about 8:30, is when the legislature will convene. Well, not the legislature, but the folks that present how bad it really is, the economists for the state, are going to tell the legislature how bad it is. Now, the governor already knows, and there's a story today about how the legislature could convene in June. Yeah, if they're waiting till June, they're probably waiting too late. And friends, you can stand up. You can stand up for a guy who stood up for you. State Senator Chuck Thompson from Hood River. He's the Hood River area, and he's a pear grower up there, longtime county commissioner. He's been in the Oregon Senate for 10 years. His district also includes, because of gerrymandering, parts of Multnomah County and down into Clackamas County. The left thinks they can take him out in a recall effort. In fact, the unions have put in about $160,000 so far to collect a little over 9,000 signatures to put his service in the Oregon Senate to a vote again in a recall election, which would happen probably sometime in July. You can help defend Chuck Thompson, and you need to think about it seriously. And what we need from you is, you know, our biggest need, and I'm helping with this race. And what happened in Oregon last night about the diminished power of the unions, and that's exactly what happened in Oregon last night, that cannot be taken for granted because they are the people going after Chuck Thompson at the behest of Kate Brown. You see, if they can take Chuck Thompson out, Kate can do anything she wants. Why? It's very simple. Their main argument is that Chuck Thompson walked out to stop not just cap and trade, but he walked out. He didn't do his job, and he still took a salary. That's their main argument, and it's a good argument because we polled it. We know. We also know the arguments that Chuck Thompson can use to counter that. Now, it's still going to be close. The reason it's going to be close is because he won his last election 2 years ago by only 209 votes. That's pretty close. So, friends, we have to be competitive against the unions. You have to remember that the unions have an unlimited source of money, and it comes from you. at least those of you who are paying your taxes, your income taxes to the state of Oregon. Because the unions, who so far, Kate has not laid off hardly anybody in state government, or teachers, or your county or city workers. There are some, but not many. That's all about to change, but they're still collecting their union dues, and 99.99% of all union dues collected by government worker unions in Oregon at any level go to Democrats. You see, the longer that this is the genius of evil that is in Kate's plan, which gets us to the discrimination of churches. But the genius of it is that as long as Kate continues to hold Oregon's businesses back, they don't have the money to give to Republicans. And most businesses give money to Republicans. So you see how this works? Democrat candidates get all the money they want, and Republicans don't, because Kate is artificially keeping the economy depressed. And it clearly is, if you look at the numbers that OHA just released again about how we continue to have a falling number of COVID cases in this state and deaths. It's going down, 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 like we expected it would. But yet she's not going to reopen. Why? Because it's all political, folks. Just like what the Oregon Supreme Court is going to do in this challenge by the churches to Kate's order. Anyway, stand up for Chuck. You need to stand up for Chuck Thompson. We need to be able to be competitive, and that's why we're starting now. We've kind of waited until the end of the primary season because a lot of candidates are out asking for money. Well, now we need money because this is going to be the single most important election in the entire state for the entire year. It's going to be Chuck Thompson. Because if he loses, if Kate takes him out, if the unions take him out, because we can't be competitive because we haven't raised enough money, because businesses are hurting and can't give enough money, if they take him out, Kate can have her way because no Republican is going to walk out again. That's the reality, folks. They won't. This is why we have to stand up for Chuck. You can make a small dollar donation, and that's what we're really trying to do here right now, is to show the big money in the lobby, whatever big money is left in the lobby, the pro-business lobby, pro-Republican lobby, that we can be competitive because a lot of people support. Now, Timber Unity is involved. If you go to standupforchuck.com, that's our website, standupforchuck.com, you'll see a great video from Chuck Thompson and from Mike Peel, star of the TV reality show Axeman. He's also president of Timber Unity. You see, Timber Unity promised Chuck, and they're following through, that if he walked out, that they would support him. In fact, any of the Republicans that walked out, Timber Unity would support them. And they did. So we need your help now. Standupforchuck.com. You can see this, by the way, on Oregon Catalyst. You can see all of that. Okay, so 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line, 503-589-1220. Emails to jeff@1220.am. Now, I got an email from one of the state employees who shall never be made known, and there's actually two emails here, and I'm going to share both of them. Because one of them has to do with the topic we talked about yesterday, where Mary from Shaw called in and said she couldn't find a Dropbox. Well, it's a little tongue-in-cheek, but the state employee says, "Hey, Jeff, I wonder if you could help me out with a quick errand. I failed to mail my ballot on time, and I'm kind of busy today, and I need to turn in my ballot. I see that there's a good sale at Roth's on chicken breasts. Can you come by and get my voter's ballot? And when you go out shopping today, can you take my ballot and place it carefully in the plastic container on the floor of the store next to the ice machine? I trust all of the hundreds of people entering the store to respect this sacred polling place and the official who will pick up the plastic container on the floor today to ensure that my ballot is respected and processed correctly. Yeah, I mean, that's how absurd it has gotten, right? I mean, it's crazy. But this employee then goes on to mention something that we talked about Sunday at the church service, the Christian All Church Worship and Prayer Service that we had on the steps of the Capitol building. You see, we circulated a petition there to ask Kate Brown to classify churches as what? Necessary. And she hasn't done that so far. So here's what he asked me in the email today. He said, is the petition mentioned during the All Church Worship and Prayer event still available and active? How can your listeners do so? Can you read the petition for those of us who have not seen it? Yes, I can. So here's what the petition that we circulated on Sunday says, and I'm going to tell you in a moment how you can actually go sign it. Here's what it says. We the people, the collective body of Christ in Oregon, respectfully petition Governor Kate Brown to declare houses of worship to be essential during the emergency she declared in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Christians cry out for the governor to acknowledge our constitutional right to worship and peaceably assemble. We call on her to honor the dignity of human rights and individual freedom in her actions in dealing with this pandemic. That's all it says. Now, I will tell you that the last two sentences, I lifted almost directly from the Vatican's letter number 10. Now, you guys know I'm an evangelical. I'm not a Catholic. But Pastor Jim Moore of the Salem House of Prayer sent this letter to me. And it was a very long letter. And it was about this issue of how governments are responding all over the world to the COVID-19 debacle. And it is a debacle. And it's a beautiful letter. And I referenced it in my comments as I emceed the event on Sunday. But I really wanted to make it part of this petition. You can sign the petition and you can put your church name down or not if you go to the Facebook page of the Salem House of Prayer. Scroll down a couple of positions and you can click on sign the petition. It's a change.org site, but it's sign the petition, declare Oregon churches essential. Because if they're not, isn't that discriminatory? I think so. And U.S. Attorney General Bill Barr has weighed in on it. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the elections last night. It's the day after the elections. No, that's not poverty.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Stop the car. 22 minutes past the top of the hour, 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. If you want to weigh in on our Oregon churches being discriminated against by Kate Brown in her executive orders, and frankly, should the Attorney General of the United States step in to send a message to the Oregon Supreme Court? Because ultimately, this state issue could make its way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And last night's elections, there are some very interesting takeaways. Like, is conservatism actually making a little bit of a comeback in the Portland metro area? One race in particular might indicate that there is some thought towards that. Today, of course, we find out how bad the Kate shutdown and lockdown Kate Brown, what the shutdown means into our economy. And it ain't good. It ain't good at all. But I do want to remind you, friends, that Eric Azer at Righteous Renovations is a guy who is a great local business guy, a contractor who lives his faith in his business. You know, he can come in and do a remodel for you. He can do all kinds of projects for you. And you'll be satisfied. Why? Because that's how he does things. And all you need to do is look on his website at righteousrenovations.com and you can see the satisfied customers. So please, Eric Azer at Righteous Renovations is another one of our great local businesses that need your support right now. righteousrenovations.com. So there are some takeaways from last night's elections in Oregon. One of them, and I want to go back to this issue that maybe, just maybe, we're getting a little bit of conservatism in the Portland metro area. Because one of the winners last night was my former colleague in the House, Tootie Smith, who used to be on the Clackamas County Commission. She got voted off. And last night, she got voted back on. And you know where she got voted back on? Against a corrupt, longtime politician, Jim Bernard. And I say corrupt because, yeah, he's got caught using all kinds of taxpayer money for personal things. And he's so arrogant that he refused to pay it back until finally he realized it was hurting him pretty badly in public opinion, and it did. Tootie beat him last night, specifically for the top dog position in the council, or the commission, rather. The commission president, the chair of the commission. So Tootie Smith beat a corrupt Democrat politician. Now, you would think that that would have some impact, right? Well, not necessarily, because it kind of depends on the Portland metro area where you really are as to where you could, you know, even sort of throw out there the idea that maybe a little bit of common sense and personal reflection and understanding of how government and business should work, free markets. That's pretty subjective, actually, to where you are. For instance, one of the five takeaways by Betsy Hammond in the Oregonian article is Portland area voters love taxes for public services. Yeah, they just reinforced the stereotype that Portland voters have never met a tax that they don't like. Because, yeah, the Portland homeless tax, which is a tax on the quote-unquote the rich and businesses, it passed by big numbers. But it wasn't just Portland. Washington County voters backed library taxes. Big, 68%. Portland voters overwhelmingly renewed a 10% gas tax. That was by 77%. Canby voters approved a school construction bond. Centennial District also approved a construction bond by 52%. So apparently the brainwashed masses of progressives that inhabit downtown Portland don't understand that it, you know, you really can kill the goose that lays the golden egg. And they don't believe that because they just voted another tax on quote unquote the rich. You know what? The rich can leave Portland. The rich could go to like Oswego or somewhere else around the Portland metro area. They don't have to live in Portland and pay their additional taxes on top of the state taxes, on top of the federal taxes. They don't have to do that. They can leave. They can move. Now, businesses, not so much. Because you see, the Democrat mindset, the liberal mindset, the progressive totalitarian mindset is, hey, you know, businesses have plenty of money. They're all rich. They're all evil because they exploit the rest of us. So let's suck it to them. And you know what? We'll just keep raising their taxes and they'll keep paying it. I mean, isn't that what happens in New York, and Illinois, and New Jersey, and places like that, California? I mean, their economies haven't collapsed yet. So the liberals think, hey, we can just keep raising their taxes. It'll be all right. Wrong-o. There is a point where you can kill the goose that lays the golden egg. But these people who are progressives have no ability to really understand it, do they? Because that's the result of these votes. You would think in the middle of an economic collapse, and today we're going to find out how bad it really is. And by the way, what we're going to find out today is only going to get worse. Why? Because Kate won't fully reopen the economy, even though there's no reason not to. By the way, one of the other big takeaways, labor unions, muscle and money isn't as strong as they had hoped, because they lost some big races. Chief among them is Democratic Senator Mark Hass beat his communist state senator opponent, Senator Shamia Fake, who raised far more money. Because the unions backed her big. Why? Because Mark Hass voted to nibble around the edges of PERS. And there's more. We'll get into all of it. Your phone calls when we come back at 6:30. Back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 24 minutes till the top of the hour. In a moment, we're going to chat with Rebecca. What do you want to say about the topics today if you're just joining us? We're talking a little bit about last night's elections. Now, there are some lessons to be learned in it, and they're not particularly good. Although one of these lessons is that the diminished power of the unions is evident, because they went after a couple of standing lawmakers, Mark Hass and Rob Nossi, a Democrat from Portland, and they lost big time. Why did they go after him? Well, it's easy to understand. It's because they voted against the unions when it came to PERS. Even though it was the kick the can down the road bill that does nothing. Also, in a letter by the U.S. Department of Justice Civil Rights Division to California Governor Gavin Newsom yesterday, the Assistant Attorney General of the United States of America, Eric Dreeband, warned the governor that his reopening plan discriminates against religion and must be modified to allow for religious services to reopen. It is virtually the same as Kate's, with very little difference. So should the U.S. Attorney General be an intervener in Kevin Mannix's and Ray Hackey's lawsuit here in Oregon that goes before the Oregon Supreme Court on Friday? Should they also be an intervener? Are churches being discriminated against? You can have pot shops open. You can have a hardware store open. You can have a liquor store open, because they were all considered to be essential. But churches aren't. Hmm. We'll get into all of that as we go here. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to jeff@1220.am. Got an email from Rich. Says, interesting comment by the hospital in Salem. A phone conversation yesterday I was listening to was about scheduling an appointment for a follow-up after surgery, which the follow-up is over 2 months overdue thanks to the lockdown. So a person can still die from the virus, even though you don't have the virus. The hospital mentioned that they have no Chinese virus patients. Laugh out loud. So I'm not sure what's going on. Does this mean that they won't say, or does it mean they don't have any? I'm fortunate that my surgery is scheduled for June, since this means that someone has decided in March that the virus problem will be gone. No more, laugh out loud. It must be a union negotiation between the unions and the virus. So the other questions, what are the numbers of deaths from the regular flu this season? They're not telling us that. How many have died due to the lockdown that needed surgery or other medical treatments? They're not telling us that either. What is the real reasons behind destroying the Oregon national economy by continuing the shutdown? That one I can answer, and I already have. It's very simple. It's all political. It's all meant to hurt Republicans in the next election because they get their money from business. And if business is hurting, they can't give money to Republicans. But the Democrats get their money from the unions. And so far, that hasn't hurt them any because they're not laying off government workers by and large, at least not in Oregon. I want to remind you, if you've been doing some work around your place and need to get rid of that concrete, that yard debris, that wood debris, take it to Clayton Ward Recycling. Right here in Salem, they've been around 50 years in business, friends. Family-owned business. They're right off of Salem Parkway, Mainline Drive. Salem has benefited from the years of having Clayton Ward Recycling. Some of that stuff you got to pay for, some you don't. So before you come over, and by the way, it's easy to bring your stuff in. You've got no waiting, not like the county dump where sometimes if you're there on weekends, you wait for a long time. You don't have that problem at Clayton Ward Recycling. Again, off of Salem Parkway, Mainline Drive. Give them a call, 503-393-8700, 503-393-8700. Let's go to the phones. We'll start first with Rebecca. How are you, Rebecca?
I'm doing well. The last evening I went to the election office because of the person who called in yesterday and said they had to go four different places to find a place to put their ballot.
Yeah.
And
what'd they tell you?
When I came to the election office and I said I wanted to come in and be an observer, they said they were not allowing observers. So I was just standing outside the election office, and I stood there for a while, and all of a sudden, another person came out, and he said that he knew Bill Burgess personally, and he had called Bill Burgess and asked to come be an election observer, and he had been allowed to, and I said, well, if you got it, can you give me his number, and I'll call and see if I can be an observer, and so Bill allowed me in. So Bill came down and he was having me sign the paperwork and stuff. And then he let me have the pen afterwards. So then I said to him, this seems really strange that the election is being, that observers are not being allowed to come in and observe. It's not right that we should, that the voters should not have the ability to come in and observe the election. It makes it so that you are running an election without the general public being allowed to come in. And he said, well, we really have to keep it tight in here because of the virus. And I said, why don't the Democrats come out and support the hydroxychloroquine, because it's a very non-lethal drug. It's been used for many years, and we could all be using it as to prevent us from getting the virus.
And so what did he say about that?
And he said the FDA hasn't approved that, but I'm just about positive the FDA has approved that, because that's what Trump pushed them to do right at the beginning of this virus.
Yeah, and they just changed their stance on it this last week, which, and Rebecca, that, thanks for telling that story. I appreciate the fact that Bill let you in. That's appropriate. I got to let you go because we got to move on to Jake and Art. So, you know, with the president coming out over the weekend saying that he was taking hydroxychloroquine and had been for about 10 days, and the FDA kind of had to change their stance on it, don't you think? All right, we got a line open, 503-589-1220. That's the Power Buick GMC talk line, or you can send me an email to jeff@1220.am. By the way, one of the other takeaways is Cliff Bentz beat Newt Bueller and all of Newt Bueller's Phil Knight money. Is Newt finally done, you think? Is it finally, is his political ambitions, are they finally finished? Can he just go away now? I mean, the audacity, I mean, I like Newt personally. I've liked him a long time. But the audacity to be an anti-Trumper so vociferously, to be an anti-lifer, to be pro-abortion, and then to try to recast yourself as a conservative to win in a very conservative district, the voters didn't buy it. Cliff Bentz won. Now, Cliff's no shining example of a conservative either, let's be honest. But at least he's not Newt. Maybe it's time for Newt to go back to doing surgeries. He's a very good surgeon. He's a good guy. He just doesn't belong in conservative Oregon politics. Let's go to Jake. Jake, good morning. How are you, brother?
Good morning, Jeff. Newt is Tate like. That was my thoughts on him. So, yeah, I'm with you there. Hey, you're asking about the churches. You're asking about Kate Brown getting leaned on by the higher-ups federally. And I guess my question to you, Jeff, if she's not going to even listen to the Constitution, she's not going to obey our rights from the Declaration of Independence, she's not going to care about the rally that was at the Capitol steps 3 Saturdays ago and some change, the church service that we had that you ran a few days ago, why would she care what the Attorney General thinks? That's just going to be fueling her fire. As you know her, and some of the stories that I've heard from people that know her, Jeff, you know, I like to get political. I find things. She doesn't care. And she's on fire, and she's vindictive. It'll just make her madder. The Supreme Court, leaning on Oregon Supreme Court, Jeff, I'm going to defer to you on that. But that whole thing we were looking for in Baker City, basically, Jeff, where does it leave us now?
Well, a good question, and it leaves us that the preliminary injunction that was granted by the judge in Baker City has been overturned by the Oregon Supreme Court. Now, the underlying case still has to be heard, and that's what this is all about on Friday. So the lawsuit alleging that Kate has overstepped her bounds is still in effect, and those arguments are going to go forward. Now, I think that what Attorney General Barr has done when warning California Governor Newsom is the same thing that he needs to do immediately, and I hope that they're going to do this Friday before the Supreme Court of Oregon to make arguments. Now, it's a little bit different, but it's not. It's, you know, the nuances of the law. I think we've got as good a shot as anything at getting the Oregon Supreme Court, as lefty as they are, to look at the plain language of the law. It doesn't matter what Kate, emotional arguments Kate makes about how her lockdown plans have worked, so on and so forth. The Constitution is the Constitution. The law is the law. And the laws that Kate cited limit her authority, even though she says it didn't. Attorney General Barr needs to be involved. Thanks, Jake. Art, hang on through the break. I'll get to you on the other side. 503-589-1220. There are a couple of lines open. Back in a moment. 648.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 10 minutes till the top of the hour. In a moment, we're going to chat with Art. Hey, friends, I want to remind you also something that's very important. You know, this virus business is the virus business. And, you know, just you got to use the common sense things to not get sick. And it doesn't matter whether it's the flu or the cold or any of those things. But, you know, one of the things you should always do is try to keep your immune system strong. That's why I take CBD. And you should take some, too. For a lot of reasons. I mean, it helps me sleep. You know that. I tell you about that. But it also helps my aches and pains. Now, you need a strong CBD with good strength to it. Some of the cheap stuff you buy, first of all, you don't know where it comes from. And secondly, you don't know how strong it is. Well, you need stronger amounts to get results. At least I do. And that's why I buy from Pro Bioscience right here in Salem. Go to their website, pro-bioscience.com, and see all the great products that you can buy from Pro Bioscience. And they're adding new stuff every day. But more importantly, friends, it can really benefit you. It can really help you. You can feel a lot better. And you can build your immune system for a lot of good reasons. Pro-bioscience.com, that's the website. And if you buy something, enter the discount code MOM, M-O-M. Mom. May, of course, was Mother's Day month. So enter the discount code MOM and you get a 15% discount. Pro-bioscience.com. Let's go to Art. Art, how are you, friend?
Good morning, Jeff. So just exactly where are we at with the Senator Thompson thing? Have they got enough signatures right now to do the recall? Are they in the middle of trying to collect enough signatures?
Yes. Yeah, they are still collecting signatures. They have until June 2nd to turn them in. Now, they've spent like $160,000 here. So even though they're not out going door to door because they can't, they're still spending some money somehow, some way to try to get signatures. Our assumption is that they're going to get the signatures to recall him.
Mm-hmm. So is Chuck doing any advertising about, you know, how he was defending the rights of his constituents to make sure they weren't taxed by the cap and trade and all that kind of stuff? I know you said something about, you know, him not fulfilling his obligation was having some effect, but, you know, the bottom line is that we do need to contribute to Senator Thompson's defense, because otherwise we may lose a seat. And right now, we definitely don't want to do that, because, you know, the Democrats, they want to keep their majority, which I don't think is going to happen. But, you know, we got to protect every seat that we can. And so we do need to contribute to the cause on that. And then, Jeff, you know, hey, thank goodness the vote was split for the Secretary of State thing there. And so actually, he went ahead and won. But I think if there hadn't been two candidates on the right, he probably would have lost because of
two candidates on the far left.
Yeah, the left.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Had not Shamia Fagan and Jamie McLeod Skinner split the far left vote, Mark Hass would have lost. And let me tell you, Shamia Fagan, this woman is as close to a communist as you can get. I mean, Kate isn't even as bad as she is. Art, thanks for your call, because I got to move on to Glenn in a moment. But let me answer your question. Yes, Chuck is doing some advertising on Rush Limbaugh's show and on Lars Larson's network, asking people to make small dollar donations. And he's doing that right now. And he is talking about the basic reasons why he walked out. You can see it, his great video, and Mike Peel's video of Timber Unity, president of Timber Unity. If you go to standupforchuck.com, you can make a donation there. It's free money. What? Yeah, it's free money. You can give your political tax credit. State of Oregon gives it back to you dollar for dollar. Go to standupforchuck.com. Let's go to Glenn. Glenn, good morning. What do you say this day?
I see the left winning quite a bit, and of course, we're losing some things here and winning some things. However, because of the loss in Baker, we discussed the idea of taking the sanctuary city or sanctuary counties that we were taught by the liberals to use for their purposes, that we now would like to do like Atwater and start having city councils and county commissioners vote sanctuaries in eastern Oregon cities and eastern Oregon counties, where they might have enough votes to then woo people to come to their counties and cities to shop if they would turn themselves into a sanctuary to be open for business and sanctuary for their churches. How many do you think out east would be able to do these things?
Oh, I think there are probably several. There's probably some counties and probably some cities that would be willing to entertain doing that. I mean, they're doing it with the Second Amendment preservation ordinance all over the state right now. In fact, that petition's going on in Yamhill County. And I think it's a great idea because it's that same argument, same logic, and it turns the arguments of the left on their head. It's a great idea. Glenn, thank you for that. Got a quick email from Chris. Says, just wanted to take a moment to thank you for your show and for everything you do locally and statewide. We're lucky to have a voice that otherwise might not be there. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. That's very kind. And that's why I want you folks, and it's so important, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. If this radio station, this show, Stacey Ann's show, Good Morning Salem, that's up next right after me, and Sean Hannity and Mark Levin and all the great talk show hosts we have, if it means something to you, we truly need you to help support our advertisers. Do business with them. Like Freedom Heating and Air. I mean, really, if you sit outside right now, you can smell the pollen in the air. You know what? When you go inside your house, you don't want to smell pollen there. You don't want to see the dust inside that you see outside. They can help you with that, with these great HEPA air filtration systems that they have. Check it out online. Freedom Heating and Air, another one of our great local Salem businesses that have been around a long time. FreedomHeatingAndAir.net. That's their website. So a couple of other things about the election last night. The Paris train hero, Alex Scalartos, the young Oregon National Guardsman, won the primary to go against Peter DeFazio down in the 4th Congressional District. Even more interesting is Lindsey Burschauer won a county commission seat in Yamhill County, which has been trending left. And Lindsay's a moderate to conservative gal. She's a friend of mine. I know her. I did some robocalls for her yesterday. So maybe we are getting some more conservatism. Interestingly enough, also here in Salem, we had a newcomer, Kevin Chambers, very narrowly, it appears, to be beating Selma Pierce. He didn't have any money. She did. She has name ID. He didn't. Lots of interesting things, and we'll keep talking about them as we go along. Thanks for joining us today, friends. Be blessed out there. Keep praying. Go to Salem House of Prayer and sign the petition to have Kate Brown declare churches essential. See you tomorrow.